feel moved this morning. Actually, it's afternoon. Today, I was wakened in a dream this morning, like 3:30 in the morning, and I couldn't go to sleep. I just kept dreaming. And the dream was about preaching the word. And I couldn't stop. And I figured after about an hour of the dream, I better get up and write the sermon for today. My sermon today is called Message to the Nations. In the scriptures, the words Gentiles, heathen, peoples, and nations are the various English translations of the Hebrew word goyim, typically defined as foreign nations. But I was thinking this morning, you know that nation over in the Middle East called Israel, that the state of Israel, it's one of the goyim. Goyim means nations. So Israel is goy. It is a nation. And it is just like all the other nations. It has people in it who are worshiping Yahweh, who are called by his name. They too shall be in a kingdom. So goyim is meant for nations, but it means every nation, essentially. Alternatively, it means nations other than Israel, but I hope I've put that belief away. Understanding about HaGoyim, the nations, as used in the scriptures, is a bit complex, primarily because of the mass of misinformation being taught about the word of Yahweh. However, I hope to show that it is because the house of Israel is scattered about in these so-called foreign nations that the Almighty sent his Messiah into the world to restore his people back to him. I'm speaking of Yahweh's special treasure, the true, the righteous, his people back to him. I'm speaking of Yahweh's special treasure, the true, the righteous remnant of the 12 tribes of Israel, as mentioned in Revelation 7, describing a still future event. Revelation 7, beginning at verse 1, says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud cry to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their foreheads.'" Verse 4, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of whom? Of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." Verse 5, "Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of," we pronounce it Gad, but it's actually pronounced God, the tribe of God in Hebrew, 12,000 were sealed. "Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed." What happened to the tribe of Dan? I didn't hear that in there. And what is Manasseh doing in there? Well, this is another sermon for another time. The message I am giving today is directed to those of you who do not understand the mystery of the good news, as written in Romans 11, verse 25 and following. You may think you understand the good news, but you may be missing a major part of it, a part that just may be the difference between salvation and, well, death. Today, I am primarily speaking to those of you who love our Heavenly Father and His Son and believe everything that you've been taught about what it takes to live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. I'm speaking to you, those of you today who are faithfully seeking to do the will of the Father and the Son, and who would even sacrifice your lives in order to stand in the truth, just as Messiah did, and just as He prophesied that you would do for those you love. Perhaps more poignantly, I am speaking to those of you who would be horrified to discover that your eternal lives are at risk because of a lack of understanding and are in danger of being rejected from the kingdom and into outer darkness, where only wailing and gnashing of teeth reside. I'm speaking to those of you who are willing to forsake all power, all glory, and all honor that this life has to offer, and yield to the majestic power, glory, and honor of the one Elohim, Yahweh, who created you and who provided a Messiah to save you from eternal destruction. It is you to whom I am speaking. And if you are one of those that I've just described, please listen to what I am about to say to you for your sake, and for the namesake of the one who gave you life. Do not be offended by some of my words if it seems that I am being judgmental. I am not. Never would I condemn you. That's not my job, but that of the one who lives forever. My job is to discern, not condemn. My job is to differentiate between the way of Yahweh and the way of the world. Let me suggest to you that if you do find offense in what I say, that it is because you realize there is at least a particle of truth in my words and you're feeling some fear. Do not despair. For Psalm 111, verse 10 reads, "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever." You might be feeling that righteous sense of remorse that anyone would feel knowing that they are wrong and wanting to correct it. Do not reject the truth in order to protect yourself from feelings of guilt. Guilt and the, yes, anger and anxiety that comes with it are necessary for change and growth. Yahweh installed this capacity within you specifically for this moment, so that you may turn from the traditions of men and return to Him instead, following His Messiah, Yahshua, and being found worthy of carrying His name into His kingdom. He is our righteous Father, and He disciplines those He loves. Let us praise our Heavenly Father for the discipline He provides, so that we may be more effective disciples of Yahshua, His Messiah. Because you may be struggling with what I just said, let me say a little bit more on the subject. Certainly, for those of you with strong beliefs, my words may be a stumbling block to your understanding. But let me ask you, do you understand the difference between feeling convicted and feeling offended. Feeling convicted versus feeling offended. It is the difference between humility and pride. It is about how we respond to feelings of guilt or shame. The humble person feels guilty when confronted about his wrongdoing and seeks forgiveness and change. The prideful person, on the other hand, also feels guilty when confronted about his wrongdoing, but instead seeks vengeance on the one bearing the bad news. Alternatively, he may altogether avoid or rationalize his guilt by holding fast to a truth that is not a truth, but a tradition of man. I am asking that you not be offended by our Heavenly Father's teachings, His word, and His commandments, you know, His law. When the Messiah says, narrow or straight is the gate, and difficult, literally, the word difficult in Greek there means a worn path of tribulation, is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. He is saying that salvation through obedience to the law of Yahweh, represented by the path Yahshua followed, is narrowly defined. The pathway to the kingdom of Yahweh is pressed and constrained. And that's out of Matthew 7:14. In 2 Peter 1, verse 20, we find that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It is an often arduous and grueling path to travel. We hear stuff like, I can't give up Sunday worship. What would my pastor and my friends say? I can't give up Christmas. What would my children say? I can't give up Easter. What would my family say? Can't? Or is it won't? Whom are you afraid of? Who do you fear and tremble? If you turn to the book of James in chapter 2, verse 18. James 2, verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one Elohim. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead, which means useless. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Do you understand that that Abraham, it was attributed to him that he was faithful, but that his actions perfected his belief, his faith in Yahweh? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, we read Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. What will your pastor think? What will your family think? What will your children think? Who are you afraid of? In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, we read, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Refined means to make pure. Yahshua said that we are not to test the Father as Israel did in the wilderness. How did they test him? By their disobedience to his law. Why are we not to test Yahweh? Well, because primarily that is his realm, not ours. His tests are numerous in this life. And that test is to obey his word. That is his test. In Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9, we read, "I will bring one third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, Yahweh is my Elohim." Now, is this about events that have happened already? No. This is about events that are yet to occur. Yahweh is still alive, and his law is still at work. How shall we know that we are his people? Well, for one, we shall be calling upon his name. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Ezekiel 20, 19. "I am Yahweh your Elohim. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths." Hallow my Sabbaths. "And they will be a sign between me and you." Yahweh is saying this to you. "This will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim." How important is it to keep his Sabbaths? What is the condition of your relationship with him? That is the test. We shall know that we are his people because we will be honoring his Sabbaths, his holy convocations, his Mikrai Kodesh, the appointed times that he has set apart in an everlasting covenant with us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And beginning at verse 7. Hebrews 12 and verse 7. Hebrews 12, 7 says, "If you endure chastening, Elohim deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening..." Now, you know what we call an undisciplined child, right? A spoiled brat. Continuing on. "But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." Wow. How spoiled brats are we? Yahweh says here, if we reject his chastening, we are illegitimate. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he chastened us for our profit," for our profit. So how is that? How do we profit by being chastened by Yahweh? "That we may be partakers of his holiness." That's how important being chastened is. 11. "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. How true this is! When we were kids and knew we had done something wrong, did we not feel guilty and ashamed for having our little fannies whacked? Or I should say afterwards. But what is that emotion that follows the knowledge that you're doing rightly? Is it not a feeling of innocence? Innocence. Now, what would you give to have that childlike sense of innocence? Not worried about what's happening in the world and feeling free to explore it, you know, like a child might. Without the constraint of having to be somewhere at a certain time or worrying about how others think of you or whether or not someone is going to hurt you. That would be innocence. This feeling of innocence is available to you. This is that peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Trained by what? Trained by the law of Yahweh. The law of Yahweh is the standard of righteousness. But what have we become in this nation? We have become a nation of lawlessness. And since when was the law of Yahweh nailed to the tree? Never. Since when is the law of Yahweh dead? Never. The only things that were nailed to the tree, along with Yahshua the Messiah, were those transgressions against the law of Yahweh that we committed, our sins, up to the time of our baptism into the name of Yahshua. That's it. Destruction follows those who lead a life of liberality, a life of diverse and personal choices in their faith. A righteous life, says Scripture, is compared to the purifying process of refining gold and silver. It must endure in extreme heat to ensure the elimination of elements that would weaken it. Come, let us reason together, says Yahweh Almighty, who sent His Son as a testimony to His truth. A Son who only did what His Father told Him to do. A Son who says, come, follow Me, and I will lead you to My Father. So I am saying, come, let us follow Him. Let us read His Word for what His Word says, not for what men say about His Word. Yes, true, I am a man, so don't follow me. Judge me, reject me, or criticize me all you want. That won't keep you out of the kingdom. I pray that you receive the truth before you die. Let Yahweh be true, and every man a liar, says Paul in Romans 3, verse 4. Therefore, consider what I say as if I were a liar, and do not believe me. But read the word for what it says. Read it, setting aside everything. Set aside all that you have been taught so that you might have eyes to see and ears to hear what Yahweh, through His Son, Yahshua, is saying to you directly. Open the book and let the Word speak to you. My hope today is to point out some things that His Word says so that you may be shocked into sobriety, into seeing the truth, and no longer be drunken in the tavern of peace, peace. Look around you. There is no peace as long as we are enmeshed with this world. But peace is found when we align ourselves with righteousness, the righteousness that Yahweh gives us in His Word. I was called out by the Holy Spirit of Yahweh with the words, honor my Sabbath, written on my heart. When I set the seventh-day Sabbath aside exclusively for study, prayer, and song, I was shocked at what I read in Scripture. It wasn't anything at all like what the man behind the pulpit was preaching. I was shocked and confused. But I resolved my confusion finally by reading the Word and rejecting the teachings of man. I hope what I say is shocking. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. If you are shocked. Praise Yahweh if you hate me for what I'm saying. If it causes you to come to the truth. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. Because you have forgotten the law of your Elohim, I also will forget your children. So where is Hosea saying that knowledge is found? In the law of Yahweh. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, beginning at verse 3. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. For a long time, Israel has been without the true Elohim, without a teaching priest, and without law. And when, in their trouble, they turned to Yahweh Elohim of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Yahshua told us in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 7, Matthew 7, 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Revelation 3, verse 20. Yahshua is speaking to John here and to us ultimately. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is a little bit of a twist. Instead of us knocking, is Yahshua knocking on our door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me, where? On my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Can you imagine that? He who overcomes will sit with Yahshua on his throne. Yahshua said we must overcome as he also overcame. What exactly is it then that we must overcome? Well, what did he overcome? If you would turn to the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 33, we'll read John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome, what? I have overcome the world. The world, of course, means everything that is not of Yahweh. In short, it means sin, transgression of the law of Yahweh. Yahshua overcame sin by being obedient in every respect to the law of Yahweh. He only did what his Father told him to do. We too must strive to do the same. That is why the Holy Spirit, the mind and power of Yahweh, was granted to Yahshua's disciples. And this is the purpose for which he granted the earnest, the pledge, or the first installment of the Holy Spirit to us today. We are to nourish the Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit, in us by subjecting our lives to living righteously according to the law of Yahweh. Hosea 6, verse 6, a simple verse, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings." Hosea is speaking as Yahweh directed him, bemoaning the house of Israel and the house of Judah, who have forgotten the law that Yahweh gave to them. Yahweh is saying to us, "I don't care about your sacrifices. What I want from you is to treat each other with respect and loving kindness. And know me. Know me." Yahshua reiterates Hosea's words by offering himself as a propitiation for our sins and putting an end to animal sacrifices. And he fulfills Yahweh's testimony in Hosea's words by declaring that he has renewed the law. He hasn't made up a new one. He has renewed the law of Yahweh by giving us a new commandment, as written in John 13:34. John 13:34 says, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Is this really a new commandment? No. It is the same commandment spoken by Yahweh through Hosea, renewed and refreshed by Yahshua. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and verse 8, Jeremiah 8:8. "How can you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. So what wisdom do they have?" Now, when we look at the words "the false pen of the scribe," we typically interpret them as referring to the mistranslations of the word of Yahweh, of which there are many. However, consider this. Scribes in Yahshua's time were not only copying the scriptures, they were writing completely new laws that were written more stringently than Yahweh's law, for the purpose of providing a hedge around the word of Yahweh, ostensibly to prevent the people from breaking the law of Yahweh. So their intent was good, to keep people from breaking the law of Yahweh. But eventually, though, these hedge laws backfired. Ultimately, they prevented the people from obeying the law of Yahweh, the exact reason Yahshua chastised the Pharisees and the scribes of his day. Those Pharisaical laws live on today and are adhered to strictly by the Jewish people in the modern nation of Israel. These hedge laws are written down in what is called the Mishnah, the Talmud, and the Kabbalah. These writings are, in my opinion, the writings of mankind and have become what is referred to as Jewish law and Jewish mysticism. The Kabbalah is essentially a book of pagan rituals, antithetical to the law of Yahweh. Today, some Jews don't drive on Sabbath. Why? That would be kindling a fire. They have lights for the Sabbath that are not to be switched off or on, but are covered with a shade so that they don't have to turn a light on or off. Why? That would be kindling a fire. They carry on those traditions, similar to ceremonial hand washings, to this very day. If you would turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 5, we read in Matthew 15:5, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to Elohim.'" Now, verse 6, "then he need not honor his father or mother." You know, the fifth commandment, if you recall. Joshua then says, "Thus you have made the commandment of Yahweh of no effect by your tradition." Hypocrites, Joshua says. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you in Isaiah 29:13, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me." In vain. It means for no purpose, for no good. They worship me. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. If you're teaching or living by the commandments of men, you are worshiping the Creator and His Son in vain. It won't do you any good. "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Yahweh is saying that our worship is all for nothing to the extent that we follow the dictates, doctrines, and teachings of mankind instead of thinking and doing as Yahweh directs us. Can you find Sunday worship, Christmas, Easter, or the phrase "once saved, always saved" in the Bible? No. Of course not. These and many more traditions of men are simply not there, nor are they implied anywhere in the Bible. Only are they taught by men. And just as a note, the names of Isaiah, this is curious, it came to me, it might be interesting to know that the names of Isaiah and Joshua are exact reflections of each other. Both names include the poetic name of Yahweh, Yah, and both include the Hebrew word salvation from Hosea, Yeshua, or Yasha. Isaiah or Yishiyah means the salvation of Yah, while Yashua means Yah's salvation. If you turn to the book of Proverbs 1, verse 24, we read, "Because I have called and you refused," this is Yahweh speaking, "I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke." Who is speaking in the above verse? Well, I mentioned that it was Yahweh. However, that is true, with a bit of a twist. You may be surprised to discover that these words are not written as coming from Yahweh. They are written as coming from a woman, though, or I should say, through a poetic device called personification. This passage begins, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorners, and fools hate knowledge." How long will you love simplicity? The word simplicity in Hebrew is peti, meaning foolish or seducible. So wisdom is really asking, when will you repent from being seduced by falsehood? The beauty of this passage is that by giving Yahweh a different form, through personification. That of a wise woman, we are able to equate Yahweh to whom this woman is, whose name is Wisdom. Yahweh is therefore wisdom. Therefore, we must conclude by virtue of this passage that if we are to be wise, we must know Yahweh and understand His teachings. After all, who is it that is rejected at the gate to the kingdom by Yahshua? Those who commit iniquity. Those who commit sin. What is sin? It's a transgression of the law of Yahweh. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Proverbs 10, verse 21 reads, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom." Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Isaiah 29:13 begins, "Therefore Yahweh said, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden." Yahweh does not like the teachings of men that are contrary to His word. And there are so many in this world that are teaching contrary to what Yahweh has provided for us in writing. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, beginning at verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For Yahweh is the great Elohim and the great King above all mighty ones. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also His. The sea is His, for He made it. Deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. For He is our Elohim, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, I'm speaking to you, and Yahweh is speaking to you. If you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Psalm 96. "Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, among the goyim, among the peoples. His wonders among all peoples. For Yahweh is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all mighty ones. For all the mighty ones of the peoples, the nations, are idols. But Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to Yahweh, O families of the peoples. Give to Yahweh glory and strength. Give to Yahweh the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before Yahweh. For He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. As I say to you, when Yahweh comes in the image of His Son, Yahshua the Messiah, riding a white horse and wearing a garment baptized in blood, having trodden the vine press of Revelation 14, verses 18 through 20, where will you be standing? Will you be standing on the rock of salvation? Or will you be standing in the tavern of peace and safety, drinking from the cup of abominations that renders you drunk in lawlessness and numb to the truth of Yahweh? It is your choice. Yahweh has given you power over your own salvation. And it's my prayer that you open your eyes and ears to His word, bow down to Yahweh, giving Him all your strength, all your power, and all your might, that you may one day hear the words of Yahshua, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into My rest." Hallelujah.